Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
By this time tomorrow, the Los Angeles Dodgers could be halfway home to their first world championship since 1988. Or the Lakers have already, or perhaps the Tampa Bay Rays will even it up. The Lakers have already won the championship. It could be a double dip for L.A. The dude Keyshawn is talking about is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. J. Will will be back tomorrow. Bart Scott, the 11-year NFL veteran.
So you say.
Jets and Ravens is with us. We're going to get right into the Cowboy conversation in just a second. But Key, because it's been a great run for you as a sports fan, we got millions of fans listening. When your team can win a baseball title and an NBA title, perhaps in a span of a few weeks, you're living high on the hog. There's nothing better than that as a fan. And the Dodgers are moving closer thanks to a brilliant Kershaw performance, arguably his best performance in the postseason in years.
It is his best performance, and it's good to see the confidence build. And they just got to continue to just support him when he's in there getting the runs for him and make him feel comfortable.
We'll talk much more baseball coming up with our Jessica Mendoza. She will be joining us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line at 8:45. Look forward to speaking with her. And by the way, the Rays' number one fan, Dick Vitale, he's been living in Sarasota outside of Tampa for decades. He'll join us at 9:10. So if the Rays are down, not feeling good, I think the best guy to have to lift your spirits is somebody like Dick Vitale. He's been doing that.
I'm not going
to
help him.
Dick Vitale, you talking about the great Detroit Pistons coach?
Yes, the old school. That's way before he worked at ESPN for more than 40 years.
Let's not get into the Detroit versus
Bart,
L.A. conversation.
Don't
be hating.
Hayton,
Charlotte in his finals.
Hayton is a way you could look at the Dallas Cowboys right now because they are hating life at this particular point. They've lost Dak for the season. They've got Andy Dalton, who looked all right, rescuing them against the Giants and looked terrible against the Cardinals. The Alliance Sports Bureau came out with a great stat this morning. And if you're thinking about, do we need to upgrade, Bart, from Andy Dalton? The division is imminently winnable. We're sitting in first place with two wins. In the last 30 years, these are the guys the Cowboys have traded for at quarterback that have started and made the team. Everybody makes trades, transactions. Guys don't make it. But there are five guys in the last 30 years, the Cowboys, that's it. Five quarterbacks they've traded for in the last 30 years. Matt Cassel, John Kitna, Keys Guy, Drew Henson, Hugh Millen, and Steve Berline. That's it that have been traded and started a game in the last 30 years. There's some talk with Fitzpatrick out in Miami that it's to his team. Maybe Fitzpatrick goes to Dallas. Maybe the Cowboys look to upgrade somewhere else. Bart, what do you think about it?
I'm trying to figure out how do you do that. Like, you know, you think about Andy Dalton, his resume. Yeah, he's not a household name, but he's a guy that's more than capable of running your offense. You have to find out what he does well. Just think, he played in the AFC North in one of the toughest divisions, and he held his own. He went to the playoffs routinely. You know, he's able to handle and be able to really, you know, I think play well with this type of talent. But, you know, you need to ask yourself, do they need to make a trade for some offensive linemen? Because that's really what the problem is. He's under duress, and he's not a mobile quarterback. So the argument about going to Ryan Fitzpatrick would be just because he's a more of a mobile quarterback, a guy that can make off-schedule plays out of the pocket. But how do you make a trade for a guy in the middle of the season so that he can come out and learn the offense and talk about you're going to have continuity, you're going to have the ability to be able to do the small things with an offense that you have to do as a veteran quarterback, like making adjustments, changing the plays, getting the right plays, and being understanding how what the protections are. So you're just stuck with what it is. You brought in Andy Dalton because you wanted a backup for our man and Dak Prescott. You know, he's here. This is where you're at. This is what I'm talking about. We always make excuses for the Dallas Cowboys. They're a soft organization. They're an organization that's front runners. You talk about front runners. They've always been a front-running organization. You know, when have we ever sat here in any seat, I don't care what platform that you're a part of, and said, oh, man, that Dallas Cowboy team has really overachieved? They've always underachieved because that's what they do. You know, the first thing that stands up in front of them, they get soft and they start looking for stuff to blame, like we're not prepared. Like Mike McCarthy's whole resume as a coach in this league doesn't mean anything. When have you ever heard anybody say that about Mike McCarthy? Listen, like I told you, I have my issues with Mike Nolan, but the last thing that I'm ever going to say or hear or accept from anybody is that he doesn't know what he's doing, right? Because he's been a defense coordinator in this league and he's performed at a high level. So don't give me that stuff that he's ill-prepared. Let's just put it on the players. They're not good. You talk about a player saying, hey, how can you expect me to play hard for 70 plays? What? You get paid millions of dollars. I expect you to play harder for much longer than that. And the problem is they're not playing complimentary football, right? When you have a bad defense, you protect it by running the football. And it's not about the yards. It's about the attempts. It's about being able to let your defense have a rest. But when your defense, you know, can't stop it, you know, you talk about they can't fight their way out of a wet paper bag right now. And that's their fault. right? Because at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to bite down. You got to bite down and say, you know what? It's tough sledding, and we, you know, and we got to make sure that we bring our A game, and we're going to have to win ugly. You can't adjust and say, okay, well, Dak was here. We're going for 500 yards, and we're able to air it out. So let's hope that we can outscore people. Because when you can't protect your quarterback, you can't get those downfield plays because your offensive lineman can't block long enough, so it has to come off of play action, not seven-step drops.
Quarterback is not their issue. Andy Dalton is very serviceable as a backup that's been a starter, a long-time starter in the league. The problem, much like Bart was saying, is you got to figure out the offensive line and the protections. Maybe your protection scheme isn't such that in a situation where you now got to look at different protections. Try to do different things.
Two tight ends, Key.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you could go two tight ends or whatever the case. Maybe there's some slide protections, some turn protections, backs out of the backfield chipping, helping. And that was his only game, the first game he started. So I'm willing to kind of wait to see why in the hell would I want Fitzmagic over Andy Dalton? I wouldn't take that. There ain't no way in hell I would want that. I just wouldn't, especially this time of year. You're asking him to come in, or any quarterback for that matter, to come in, learn this system, unless he has some familiarity with Kellen Moore. Maybe Kellen Moore was somewhere with him coaching. I don't know.
The Cowboys OC.
Yeah, the Cowboys OC, and he has some familiarity in terms of terminology and in language and the things that they want to try to get done within the system. Outside of that, there's no point in even having that conversation about getting him to come in and replace Andy Dalton. You stuck with Andy Dalton now. You got to ride that thing all the way to the end.
And Bart, you look at it, you mentioned the offensive line. 60% of their offensive line is not there. Key mentioned at one point the best offensive line in football. Tyron Smith, one of the best at the position. He's out. Lyle Collins hasn't played a snap. Zach Martin, the young kid from Notre Dame, got injured on Monday night. Doesn't matter who's back there. If 60% of your offensive line can't give you anything.
Yeah, but listen, everybody's dealing with injuries, right? And you have to find out a different way. You have to be able to pivot. You got to say, you know what? We thought we were going to be this aerial attack. Dak was on. I mean, he still leads the league in passing, right? Right. You know,
played in weeks. Huh?
Yeah, and we understand what he was and the type of season he was having. But now you have to pivot. When are you going to bite down and say, you know what? We got to win ugly, right? So we got to slow the game down, limit the possessions, and figure out how to play. But don't give the players an excuse and an easy out. We're ill-prepared. The players don't trust them. Put your name to it, bro. Like, don't be something up there and been sitting behind an alias. If you're a man and you believe in it, step out there and say something.
Well, but they're
cowards, though, Key.
I think it's important. No, I think it's important to always, you know, if you say something, put your name on it. I've always, you know, if I'm going to say Zubin is the worst, Bart's the word. I'm going to say it. I ain't going to, oh, that linebacker 57.
Bro, you know how it is, right? You know how it is. You know, these reporters, they get these relationships with you and you feed them some stuff. I hate dudes like that feed people because they want to be protected when they're not playing well so that they can make sure that they now get the bad stories to get ran out of town. So they start feeding and they're like, oh, we'll hide you and protect you with this anonymous type of, you know,
name. I get all of that. I understand that. But I've always had the feeling and the belief. When stuff start coming out of a building, because I've been in organizations, I've been around organizations, and every time stuff have come out of the building, that's pretty much what it is.
Right. You have
beef. Right? I mean, it is what it is.
You had beef with Gruden, right?
Yeah.
Right. You had beef.
But Gruden knew that, though.
Right.
I wasn't hiding
it. Right. What I'm saying is you had
no damn secret.
But what I'm saying is
I didn't really have beef with him like that. I just didn't like you.
Right. Okay. That's fair, right? Because we all work with people that we may not like but you can respect them, right?
I went and won a championship with the man. He helped me win a championship. It's so funny, ironically, our relationship, the year that we won the championship, that's the year that our relationship was the most crazy, right? It was that year. It was the highlight that you always see me and him on the sideline. That was the year we won the championship. People think it was the year that I left the team, but it was the year we won the championship.
But I say that to say this, right? It's certain things that people can say about Gruden, you might nod your head, and there's certain things you'd be like, nah.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I'm saying,
people all the time, X and O coach, he can dial it up when he wants to.
Right.
But some of the other stuff, that's phony.
So when I sit here and I tell you that Mike Nolan had his football acumen.
But I'm going to believe you.
So you see what I'm saying? So the fact that these players are saying that they're not prepared, they're can't make adjustments, let me know that they're looking for the easy way out.
But are they talking about Mike Nolan or are they talking about the staff entirely? You see what I'm saying?
Mike McCarthy, you talk about Kellen Moore, and you talk about McCarthy. Those have never been their narrative. So the fact that they're trying to make that narrative are telling me that they're trying to point the fingers and
well,
not the
Mike
thumb.
McCarthy has some stuff in Green Bay that was similar.
But their offense before Dak went down was on a historical you know trajectory. So they're pointing the finger and not the thumb because they're trying to make it seem about the defense. Like I said, I've been in that defense with the Baltimore Ravens. The people that run that same defense, Rex Ryan, Chuck Pagano, you think about Green Bay and Mike Pettine. So you talk about trees. Mike Nolan started that tree as a part of that tree. So don't tell me he don't know nothing about defense. As much as I may not like him right now, I'm not going to sit up here and let
well,
people
why the hell are they giving up all the points then, man?
Because they are dumb football players who can't communicate. You got to go back and go to this elementary defense because they're not sophisticated enough to be able to figure out how the hell, you know, what formations mean, down and distances mean.
When we say break on the show, we break, man.
Oh, I forgot. My name's not on the show. And we told you to break with Buster, and you kept going, but it's okay because my name ain't on the show. It's okay, Keisha.
But Bart is making a name for himself because he's called the Cowboys this morning cowards, dumb, and soft.
And front runners.
And front runners.
We never respect them when we played against them. It was easy. It was barbecue chicken.
Hey, man, you respected me.
I did.
Don't want to hear that.
Listen, you are one of the – what's the percentage of that? You 1 of 53? That's still below average.
Key, the former Cowboy, if you didn't get the drift on that. Still to come, fill in the blank. Now that Fitzmagic is done, Tua being named the starter is –
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The fellows will fill in the blank on that. A loss for words with the fellas, with Bart Scott and Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Zubin Mehenti. Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Jay will be back tomorrow. This is going to be an NFL-heavy fill-in-the-blank, so it's great to have a couple of great former players with us today. Bart played in the league for 11 years, and of course, you all know about Key. And you all know about Tua being named the Dolphins starter. They got a bye, then the Rams. Fill-in-the-blank, fellas. Key, Tua being named starter is fill-in-the-blank.
A good thing. It's a good thing for Tua and his family. It's a good thing for him battling back from injuries, coming from Alabama, was still selected as the 5th pick overall in the draft with a number of other quarterbacks before him, a quarterback behind him. So I'm happy for him. I just want to see what he is, because when I'm looking at his little bitty arms, I'm like, all that time off, man, you ain't lifting no weights.
You want to keep that pliability, man, that flexibility. For me, it would be expected. You know what I mean? This is what we expected. We understand, you know, Keystradamus, you know, predicted this, right, when he said that, you know, the bye week would be the time to have a great, smooth transition. We understand he's the future for this team. The future is now. You look at Herbert, you look at Burrow, you see how great they're playing. You want to see what you got and what you have in Tua. You know, you were tanking for Tua. You know, you decided to change the culture and start winning games late in the season, and you still got the quarterback you wanted because of the injury. You know, he's been cleared. He's healthy. Let's see what he's got.
So, obviously, in order for Tua to ascend, somebody's got to move down. That, of course, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Dolphins are 3-3. Key, Ryan Fitzpatrick has to fill in the blank about being passed by Tua.
I say good again. You feel good, right? You did your job. Your job was to come in, keep everything calm the waters, teach the kid how to be a professional quarterback, not a collegiate quarterback. Making money in college. No, just kidding.
Probably took a pay cut to come to the NFL.
Bart's on fire.
More about just becoming a pro, learning how to study with pro habits, learning how to get your team rallied around you from the pro level. He should feel fine, man. What did he really think? They was getting ready to give you a 10-year extension to be the starting quarterback?
They're a 500 team, handed off to Tua. He's done his job.
They're not. Yeah. He's done his job. They're not going anywhere right now.
He's relieved. he's relieved because he gets to leave on a high note, right? He gets to leave on a win because, like I said before, like I played against Ryan ever since he was with the Bengals, right? We saw what happened when he went to the Bills. They bought in on him, thought he was a starting quarterback in his league. He disappointed. Then he comes in, he gives you these flashes, right? He gives you these brilliant moments. He gives you this toughness. But understand that that train is never late. That Fitztragic is right behind the Fitzmagic. Jeez. So he got out on the right time, understanding that, hey, now I can buy myself a couple more years to be able to steal. Listen, 100%. Every great player or every player that is bought on this league deserves a couple of years to be able to steal.
Oh, he's going
to
be around for a while.
And the guys that steal the most or the best are the quarterbacks, because if you get behind somebody, just imagine if you were Peyton Manning's backup, or just imagine if you were Eli Manning's backup. You never had to prove anything. All you had to understand is that you can get the donuts and you understood how to get the right coffee for them for the meetings.
You know who, speaking of that, you know who's in the league right now that I had no idea was even around?
Give me the name.
Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub's still rolling.
Still getting him. Went back home, right?
Back to Atlanta.
That's what I'm telling you.
Still getting money, though.
Millions. You know what I mean? And it's guys out there running around, banging their heads on kickoff, can't get nothing, man. Still renting, driving a Honda.
Should have played quarterback. I'll probably still be playing. Go ahead, next one.
Fair enough. So Bart has already called one member of the NFC East, the Cowboys, soft, dumb, and front runners. Collectively key, the division as a whole. The NFC East is sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just a sad division as a whole. Whether it's Philly, whether it's Washington, whether it's the Giants, or the Dallas Cowboys. It's one of those divisions that you kind of just be like, ugh. It almost is like the NFC West was when Seattle won at 7-9. It was such a sorry division. It was just the Rams were bad with Jeff Fisher. Arizona obviously was garbage. San Francisco was garbage. You know, and then a 7-9 team like the New Orleans Saints, like the Seattle Seahawks played New Orleans and beat them in the playoffs. So you may see something similar in the NFC East.
So would you take Clemson or the Phil?
Man, come on, man, stop, man. Not at all. If I put the third team dudes in the NFL on and start them on 11, they'll beat Clemson.
I know that. No, I'm just playing, man. I'm just being a little tongue in cheek. But you know, I would say, you know, to me, you know, I would say disappointing. But I think that Philadelphia is the team that could turn it around. I think you look at what they were able to do against Pittsburgh. They should have been in that game, should have won against Pittsburgh. And then they took, you know, the Ravens right down to the brink after going down early in that game. So I think if any team in that division can maybe turn it around and have a shot to try and bring some respectability to that division, I would say the Eagles.
We will see the Eagles kick off the next NFL week. They'll take on the Giants on Thursday to wrap up our NFC East discussion. Yes, for whom is who the question, right? The most interesting division key in football this year is?
I thought about the North in the NFC. Is it the North?
It's the North. Yeah, the Black and Blue division.
I always get it messed up.
The old Central.
Yeah, the old Central. I thought about that, but I gotta go with the AFC. What is it? The NFC West. I'm sorry, NFC West. Mm. Because when I look at Seattle, I look at the Rams, I look at San Francisco, and Arizona. I don't think Arizona's coming out of there, but they're gonna make it hard. They're going to hang around with the little cute style of offense that they run. It's, you know, the brilliant coach on the sideline with the big fancy house. They're going to do all of those sort of things. San Francisco is interesting because Jimmy G had a pretty good game last week. So now that whole narrative of should they look at another quarterback has changed. Seattle is 5-0. The Rams had a stumble against San Francisco. And I think the Rams are a better football team than what they showed against San Fran. So to me, that division is going to be very interesting. They've yet to really play against each other.
I would say the NFC North. You know, I'm glad, you know, I mean, you gave me some room.
Cleveland is.
NFC North.
Oh, you know NFC, I mean? My bad.
What you're talking about, because I look at, you know, is this fool's goal with Nick Foles, Sir Nick? I mean, you know, can they keep up with this pace? And when they're on that collision course with the Green Bay Packers, who I feel have been exploited because they can't stop the run. So I think it's a formula out there to beat them. And the most surprising team within that division is the Minnesota Vikings, because we thought that they would be a team that would at least battle. I mean, they made the trade for Yannick for Ngakoue, and you know, thought they were all in, having two good outside pass rushers. The kid Jefferson has been as advertised coming from LSU. But, you know, they find themselves in the basement of the division. But, you know, it's interesting because are you buying in the Chicago Bears, or do you believe that Green Bay Packers, you know, are the cream of the division, so to speak.
We will see. Bears are 5-1. They'll get the Rams on ESPN's Monday Night Football. And Key, you're right. Cliff Kingsbury's house was sick. We saw it during
look,
the
NFL crib
draft.
Envy. We got a little crib envy.
In
he
the
was
desert.
Lonely. He was in there lonely, though.
That's man, for sure.
Stay out that man's personal business. What?
He swiped right.
God.
It's a good opportunity for Tinder to get on board.
You don't
with
know what he had going on in them other rooms. Man, yeah, quiet.
Could have that Le'Veon Bell action. What was she wearing?
Oh, boy.
Nothing.
Moving on. Key, rescue us here, please.
Yeah, move on.
Fill in the blank. Is the NFL's head coach of the year so far?
Mike Tomlin. It's easy. Mike Tomlin. He had them almost in the playoffs last year with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. But this year he got Ben back. They discovered Chase Claypool as their number one target. Rookie from Notre Dame. So when you look at that, Mike Tomlin, I'll continue to say this, Mike Tomlin is one of the top five coaches in the NFL. It's only about eight of them that's good. That's real talking. We can go through the exercise mm-hmm. during the break. There's probably eight coaches in the NFL that I'm like, oh, okay, he cool.
A quarter of the league only.
Bart can explain it to you.
That's not on borrowed time.
You know, and so he's a top five coach. You expect for a guy like this to be coach of the year.
You know, I love the Mike Tomlin pick. I love him because he always takes accountability for what his team does, and he points the thumb, not the finger. But you can make that same argument for Mike Vrabel and what he's been able to do down, you know, with the Titans and the fact that, you know, they had the COVID outbreak, you know, a short week. You know, I'm always interested in who can keep their team and their guys focused. And, you know, that was a huge thing, a big thing, not knowing if they're playing more, you know, more cases. And he just kept that team on par, you know, come back and be able to be dominating right now. I think, you know, he has Ryan Tannehill playing at a high level. I think that he has that team as a real contender because when you think about what Derrick Henry does and his ability to run the football and send the physical message, you know, that always wins. You know, you talk about the Kingsbury.
Nothing wrong with Vrabel.
Yeah, all the gadgets, but, you know, at the end of the day, this game comes down to can you, you know, convert 4th and 1 or can you stop 4th and 1? He has that team mentally tough, and I love what he does with understanding the rules. You know what I mean? Being able to take time off the clock. You can call it the Vrabel rule, what he did to Bill Belichick last year, jumping off sides, you know, taking the air out of the ball. But, you know, what he did, you know, last week and making sure that he can, you know, steal 40 seconds by, you know, purposely putting 12 men on the field at one time to get the penalty, knowing that it stopped the clock.
That was a genius move. He's being praised about that all over the league all week long. And we should mention a bar point on the thumb and the forefinger. If you're pointing at the thumb, you're pointing back at yourself to take accountability.
I.
If you're pointing the forefinger or the index
key
finger,
did it.
You're pointing at somebody else. And last one for you guys. The best surprise in the NFL so far has been. We got to do this one quick.
Best surprise in the NFL so far.
Quick.
I don't know, man.
You want me to go?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. I would say Tampa Bay for me. New coach, a new quarterback, new tight end, solid defense, but no real OTAs, no real offseason. Now you can start to see that it's a surprise for me. Most people just think you plug Tom Brady in, you're going to roll. There's a lot of hiccups to get to that part.
Mm-hmm. Man, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards. I knew that the offense was going to be fine if you just didn't turn the damn ball over. This was a team that was ready to win. You know, for me, it's still got to be Ryan Tannehill because I played against Ryan Tannehill and Adam Gase, you know, had us believing that he couldn't play football. And now you look at him, he's one of the most consistent, and you can make an argument that he's a top five quarterback and what he's been able to accomplish. You talk about last year, you know, when he became the full-time starter, he was the number one rated quarterback as far as, you know, what his QBR was. You know what I mean? So the fact that he's able, the shoe hasn't fallen off of him, right? Because every once in a while, a leopard can change their spots. And he's a guy that changed the narrative on his career, and now he's become a franchise quarterback. He may not be for everybody, but he's the perfect quarterback for that team.
He got paid, and it is paying off for Tennessee as an undefeated team. We're going to talk to a Super Bowl champion about how the Cowboys, 25 years removed from their last Super Bowl appearance, seem about as far away as possible with controversy brewing in the locker room. But first, SportsCenter.
He bets the first batter.
Get out.
And Fleming faces, and Betts sends opposite a fly ball to field, right field. Baby. It's pretty well hit. It's carrying. It's gone.
Get out.
Opposite field home run, Mookie Betts.
Okay.
And it is 7-1.
That's a cruel greeting into the ball game for Josh Fleming, for Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts was smiling wide after that home run, as were all Dodger fans, including Key. That was Dan Schulman and Chris Singleton on ESPN Radio. The Dodgers 8-3 win last night over the Rays. They'll take a 1-0 series lead in the Fall Classic. Game 2 tonight. Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers. 26 years old mixed bag in the playoffs thus far. The Rays got just what they need after facing a deficit. The 2018 Cy Young winner Blake Snell will toe the rubber for them. We'll talk to Jessica Mendoza, ESPN baseball analyst, coming up 8:45 Eastern. From those fans in Tampa to those fans elsewhere, somewhere in Florida, that would be in Miami, where Tua has been named the Dolphins starting quarterback. If you're wondering what's right out of the gate, well, we got a bye, then they got the Rams. Pretty easy schedule. Last four games, though, will be tough. Ryan Fitzpatrick leaves Tua with a 3-3 team, so a 500 record, as Fitzpatrick knew that day was coming sooner rather than later. And Tua takes over spot duty, as you may have seen on Sunday, but now he's the guy moving forward. And the guy for the Pacers, their new head coach, is Nate Bjorkgren. May not know about him. Highly
Where's
regarded.
Mike D'Antoni? What happened?
They were kicking the tires on D'Antoni because they want to become much more offensively inclined versus their old coach, Nate McMillan, who is a defensive guy.
Fresh blood, man.
And Bjorkgren sat next to Nick Nurse, and a lot of people believe he knows what he's doing in Toronto. So, still looking for a head coach? D'Antoni's old team, the Rockets, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the New Orleans Pelicans. SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You need the best coverage, and not just football, but your wireless network, too. Straight Talk Wireless gives you the same networks as big carriers for up to half the cost. $45 a month for 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And we welcome in on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line the Super Bowl champion, Ryan Clark. You'll see Ryan, of course, this morning, as you often do on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern with Greeny and Company, but we'll get him warmed up. Yeah. Brought to you by...
Here, man, yeah, water right there.
Gotcha.
You got enough beverages up there. Take a swig.
I do.
Way to rub it in, because the reason he's a Super Bowl champion is because he stopped me from getting there, so appreciate you, Ryan Clark.
How about that?
Hey, I didn't win that one, actually, bro, so are you good?
So Ryan is a Super Bowl champion with the Steelers. He's brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. As I get my voice back, Ryan, the Cowboys are trying to get their footing back. A couple of players came out yesterday, told the NFL Network that Mike McCarthy and his staff are totally unprepared and they're not good at their jobs. McCarthy fired back with the usual, just say it to my face if you're going to say it. What do you make of this whole situation?
I mean, this is just a symptom of losing. This is about being a bad team. And I don't think anyone ever looked at the Dallas Cowboys and thought to themselves, they've assembled an excellent group of leaders. They thought that they had good talent, that they had some good players, and that Dak Prescott was the leader of this team. Now you've lost that leader, but also Mike McCarthy has no relationship with these guys. And you can tell by the say it to my face statement, he's a guy that wants to walk around and puff out his chest. Look at me. I coached Aaron Rodgers. I have a Super Bowl. Well, right now, you can't win. Right now, you can't coach your way out of a paper bag. And I think when you treat people a certain way and you want to walk around with a certain machismo, you can't act like that. Now, the other part is the team sucks. The players suck. So they should be more focused on themselves than ratting on their coach. But it's the whole organization that's a dumpster fire. And they're going the opposite direction in which they expected from Jason Garrett. And I don't think that they're equipped to handle it.
You know, Ryan, you know me, man. I really don't have a problem with the players saying what it is. Put your name to it, though. Don't hide behind a notepad or a tape recorder or even an iPhone from a reporter, so to speak. But here, let's move on to some brighter things. Down in Miami, Miami's 3-3, one game out of first place. And they made a decision to move on from Ryan Tannehill to go with Tua in this situation. If you were on that team, Ryan, how would you feel knowing you're one game out of first place within the division and a chance at a playoff berth?
You know, Keyshawn, when you look at moving on for Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously we know who he is. We know that eventually, you know, that chariot turns into a pumpkin and he's going to have that turnover game, or he necessarily can't lead you to the promised land. But right now he's playing extremely well. So what that says to me, this was something the Dolphins had planned. Brian Flores, to me, though, has earned the respect that I would accept this decision. He's a guy who people thought was coaching a tanking team. He's a guy who's taken this team and has them 3-3 right now at this moment with a journeyman quarterback. And he understands defense. He understands leadership. He understands how to delegate and lead an organization. And because of all those things and because of what he's shown me in a little under a year and a half, I believe in his process. So I think if I'm a teammate of Tua Tagovailoa and Ryan Fitzpatrick, or if I'm a player on Brian Flores' team, I respect this decision and I go out and play football because he's done nothing but try to put this team in the best position to win since he's taken over as head coach.
Now listen, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to go back to the Dallas Cowboys again, you know, because we always understand that, you know, we always understand that adversity doesn't define character, it reveals it, right? And that revealed more about, you know, the players than anything, because listen, we've all had first year head coaches and it's always going to be a rough patch, and that tells you who's going to be with you and who's going to, you know, back up the bus, and you hear that boop boop and I smell diesel fuel, which what we would always say. Right, so I I'm not gonna keep beating that up because I think they have a lot of problems in Dallas, and it starts with personnel as well and the type of players they got, not their talent. But I want to go back to our old division, our rivalries. We had some great ones, right? We had two teams that similarly built. I think right now you can make the argument that the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best team within that division, and I think that Lamar Jackson needs some help. So I think that the Baltimore Ravens are at least one, you know, receiver away from being able to say I can be a legitimate threat, because you think about Lamar Jackson trying to, you know, go from the pocket. You can't win consistently when they're able to force him to do that. So do you think they should make a trade for maybe Julio Jones, who should be a fire sale there, you know, maybe A.J. Green, or bring Hollywood's cousin to town? And would you endorse that? Do you think the Ravens have a strong enough, you know, leadership to be able to handle a guy like Antonio Brown, to be able to pair him? Because you got to get more dynamic down the field, being able to throw the ball.
No, I do. I think that Antonio Brown – signing, or at least looking into getting him once his suspension is over, is something that the Baltimore Ravens should absolutely do. When you have a coach like John Harbaugh, a coach who actually, you know, released Earl Thomas, a guy who may be a Hall of Famer in the future, it shows what type of organization they have and also how they feel about their program, how they feel about the way they run their day-to-day. And you have to get somebody on the outside that's going to make plays. You have to get somebody on the outside that's going to make throws easier outside the numbers for Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if you have the capital to go out and get Julio Jones and keep your team intact, or I don't know what Cincinnati would want for A.J. Green, or if A.J. Green still has it. But the Antonio Brown thing would be intriguing to me. He obviously has Hollywood Brown on the team. He knows and has a personal relationship with Lamar Jackson. And also, his back's against the wall. This would be his last chance. So if that team wants to get over a hump, that's something I would look into.
Ryan, come up for some air, man. I have more questions for you, but we're running out of time.
We got to let you go. Ryan's off to SportsCenter. He'll be
hey,
off.
Hey, man, if you know, Zuber, you can always just not have me on here, man.
Man,
you
stop acting like that. Oh, baby.
I come on the show. You feel me? I ain't tripping.
Stop.
Hey, no. Hey, listen. Ain't nobody crying, bro. Ain't nobody crying, but yo, you got like about two more times to say something. I'm going to tell them don't even put me on a schedule.
I like that freaky shirt, though, man. You out there balling with the Black Panther leopard shirt underneath there, man. I ain't going to let that
I
go.
Thought he no, I was going to get him. I thought it was something out of Prince's Closet for a minute.
Yeah. With a shirt like that, it's gotta be a three button minimum when you got the streaker shirt on. We gotta see chest hair.
Yeah, all that. You gotta unbutton that thing, man.
We're always better when Ryan Clark is with us. You'll see him on SportsCenter in minutes and then get
see
him
y'all,
on the top
man.
Of it. All right. Thank you, Ryan. By the way, the Ravens are on the bye this week. Ryan's last answer there about getting some help from Lamar Jackson. So if they want to think about it, they've got
what's
a week.
The time?
They're not playing. They can kick the tires. They have
you
their
can't
new
lie
GM,
to yourself. You
Eric
can't lie,
DaCosta.
You can't lie to yourself, right? You know, Eric's been there forever, right? Eric's been there for forever. He's been waiting in the wings to be the general manager. You know, he turned down a lot of opportunities because he knew that Ozzie was going to pass the torch to him. But, you know, I think you can lie to yourself, right? You understand what you are and who you are, right? And the Ravens have gotten to the playoffs a couple of years, and they falter because teams are able to take away what they do well. They're kind of like the Yankees, right? They're built to win a lot of games in the regular season, but when certain matchups are just bad for them, so they have to figure out a way to become more explosive, because Lamar Jackson can't be a great quarterback throwing the three tight ends or three tight end sets, because if you fall behind, you have no ability to come from behind when you go down two scores or more.
We'll see what happens.
They definitely need a receiver in terms of a difference maker.
Right.
Hollywood is cool, but they need a difference maker.
He's young, too.
Yep. Marquise Hollywood Brown, the young kid out of Oklahoma. But
Antonio's cousin.
Yes, that's right. And maybe Antonio on the way and maybe Julio Jones. That's a big, big, bold move.
I'm just speaking to Eric. This is how we horse whisper to each other.
Eric DaCosta, the new GM of the Ravens, taking over for Ozzie Newsome. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. On the way, does Cam Newton not get away with something that sometimes we let Aaron Rodgers slide on? One conversation about two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and a major difference between them. Key will explain.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
And from A to Z, brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. We'll go a few miles from Dallas to Arlington, where the Dodgers took a 1-0 lead in the World Series. 8-3 win over the Rays. Clayton Kershaw, 6 innings, 1 run. Mookie Betts went yard. Game 2 tonight. Pre-game coverage on ESPN Radio begins at 7:30 Eastern. The Washington football team in 2021 will be known as... the Washington football team. President Jason Wright telling WJLA-TV in Washington, D.C. that there's a pretty good chance that they're going to have a nickname at some point down the road, but maybe not next season. And the Washington football team will be welcoming the Dallas Cowboys into town on Sunday. Team owner Jerry Jones, not in a feel-good mood about their 2-4 record, despite sitting in first place, saying on his weekly radio spot on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, quote, "I'm not in a feel-good mood, frankly, that we've got a manna from heaven being in the East." He essentially also backed up Mike McCarthy and defensive coordinator, the embattled Mike Nolan, saying that injuries have besieged the franchise.
The Patriots are who I thought they would be. They're an average offense.
You know, I'm extremely frustrated in myself and my performance here moving forward. You know, I'm here for one reason. I didn't get the job done.
And that is the voice of Cam Newton. The Pats are 2-3 after 5 games, or under 500 after 5 games, for the first time since Tom Brady was in his first year starting in New England back in 2001. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. J. Will is out. Bart Scott, the 11-year NFL vet, is in, which is great because I got two football guys with me. You heard from Cam Newton there. Here's a little more from his weekly radio appearance on WEEI, saying, "Fellas, just stay the course.
There's no need to press the panic button. There's no need to, you know, start reinventing the wheel. We have the answers. And I said again, we have the answers in that locker room, and we get guys back, hopefully. And some guys, you know, need to mend and heal up. But yet through it all, it's our job, you know, as players to produce. And I know, looking at, you know, eyeballs in that locker room and the competitors of the people who just seizes the moment and make the most of each and every opportunity, we will get that job done."
So, Key, Cam has to explain himself, even though he's got a tremendous resume, and the fact that the Pats always start slow, and the fact they still have Bill Belichick. He maybe has to sometimes be a little more visceral about things other quarterbacks don't have to sound off on as much.
Well, look, first of all, he didn't come into New England with house money. He's not playing with house money. He's following a legend. A living legend, especially in the Foxborough, New England, Boston area. They wasn't complaining in saying things prior to him in a positive test. It was kind of like, we're rolling, Cam is fine, we're going to be. And then the moment that he comes out with limited practice time, I mean, like really limited practice time, been off, what was it, 13 days?
They were off 13 days.
13 yep. days. And people look at Tennessee and say, well, Tennessee was all 16. How come it's different? It's different situations, different circumstances.
he struggled last week. There's no question about it. But he also lost Julian Edelman. He's also throwing to a N'Keal Harry, who's still trying to learn how to play the position as a pro. All of those sort of things. I'm with Cam, though. I'm not worried about it. I'm good. They have enough understanding, especially on defense. Defense lost that. I mean, defense basically won the game if it wasn't for all the field goals.
Mm-hmm.
They kicked field goals.
Six field goals for the Broncos to account for all 18 points.
Six field goals. Long ones, too, not chip shots.
No.
And so when you start to look at that, you got to think that Cam is on to something, and Bill Belichick is there with the short sleeves. He's there. You know, he's there. So how can you start to panic? Just let it take its shape and its course and see where it goes.
Listen, you know, I'm a visitor, so I try and tread lightly. But come on, man. Like, these are the only questions that you think about a loquacious, you know, football player, an African-American football player has to explain, right? Because it's already a narrative that had been pre-written about Cam.
But I don't really – I get what you're saying, but I don't really care about that part of it.
No.
We all know what that is.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's the elephant in the room, right? Because what he said I thought was very astute. Right?
Yeah,
understanding
absolutely.
That, listen, one, I just got here. Two, we're still learning each other. Three, we just had COVID testing. We don't know how he feels, his cardio, how what the effects of, you know, having COVID, you know, has done to his performance, his ability to kind of play at a high level. He's still adjusting and maybe doing some things. Like, we have to make these excuses, but when Tom Brady forgets that it's fourth down, we say nothing. Right? When Tom Brady struggles because what? He has new weapons that he don't know the time and where they're going to be. They're not on the same page. Then, oh, don't worry, Tom Terrific can figure it out.
Well, that's
when
why
Drew Brees, can't hit the ocean and, you know, couldn't hit the water in the ocean because, you know, his arm is getting weak and he's missing guys wide open. We make excuses. But Cam Newton has to come out and, oh, we want to panic. They didn't have that same energy, one, when he showed the wrinkles in which the Patriots offense can have because now he has the ability to run and what McDaniels has a new weapon. They didn't have that same energy when he threw for like 300 something yards the next week, but he struggles and they're waiting. They lined up waiting for him to say something.
That's why I said what I said when I first posed the question.
I phased out. I wasn't listening.
No, I'm saying that's why I said what I said. He didn't come in there. You know, they didn't just the deck was stacked against him from day one. They were waiting for the opportunity. And we all know that. All know that. That's why I'm like,
at the end of the day, Bill is there, right? At the end of the day, Bill is there, right? Let's put it on Bill. Like, what I'm saying is Bill's responsibility when the team comes out flat, right? We put that on the coach, but now we want to put it on the quarterback because it's Cam Newton. But
we're
talking about McCarthy and they not.
But his personality is such that he becomes polarizing where they hate him already. They don't like him already. So the moment that they can get the opportunity to talk negative about his play, they do it. It's not, we've been seeing it for years. It's like, I get tired of even talking about it because it's like, come on, man. Seriously. Like, it's one game. The dude missed 13 practices or hadn't played in 13 days and only had a practice and a half to get ready and prepare for a game. So some things are going to be off. They drop steps, whatever the case is, and it's all a new surroundings for him. I'm not worried about it.
Some of the worst weapons in the league.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it at all. Terrific Tom is going to be terrific in a system that he knows and people that he know. That's just the way it is.
Dude got 5 Pro Bowlers to throw to.
In a terrific storyline this week, Jimmy Garoppolo heading back in. So that'll be interesting. What could have been for the Pats versus what is for the Pats, San Francisco at New England, coming up this Sunday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Still to come, he's the leader of one of college football's most legendary programs, and he was a great NFL head coach. So could this guy be on his way back to the NFL? Wait till you hear this.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.